Welcome. Welcome to this first worship session of Central District Conference's 2018 annual meetings. I'd like to start with a call to worship. The Macedonian man said to Paul in a vision, "Come over to Macedonia and help us."
Lydia said to Paul, "Come and stay at my house."
Jesus said to his disciples, "Come, follow me."
Jesus says to all, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest."
And so we come.
We come to worship the one who called both Paul and Lydia.
We come to worship the one who calls us to follow.
We come to worship the one who provides rest.
Let us worship together. My name is Donna Mast, and I am one of the pastors at Silverwood Mennonite Church on the west end of Goshen.
I'm Carmen Horst, a member at Assembly Mennonite Church.
And now it is my privilege to introduce you to Dr. Rebecca Stolzfus. Dr. Stolzfus was inaugurated as Goshen College's 18th president on February 17 of this year. Since moving back to Goshen, she and her husband Kevin have become members at College Mennonite Church. Previously, they lived in Ithaca, New York, where they were members of St. Paul's United Methodist Church. Rebecca and Kevin met at Assembly Mennonite Church here in Goshen during their college years, and they were married there. She told me that Goshen College and Assembly Mennonite Church were very formative in her faith formation. They have two children, one who is presently a student here at Goshen College, and one who just graduated from Goshen. She is here with us this evening and would like to add her greetings to this evening's worship. So please welcome Dr. Stolzfus.
Thank you, Donna, and good evening to all of you. I am so pleased that you are here doing the work of the church, here in this space that we share with College Mennonite Church as Goshen College. As Donna said, I began as president of Goshen College just 7 months ago. And in those 7 months, one of the things that we have done is articulate a new vision statement for Goshen College, and I want to share that with you. So our vision is that Goshen College will cultivate joy, growth, and purpose, preparing students for life, leadership, and service. Rooted in the way of Jesus, we seek inclusive community and transformative justice in all that we do. When we were planning toward the inauguration, the installation ceremony, the scripture text that I chose as the orientation for that event and has nourished me in these first months of my presidency was the very familiar prayer of St. Paul to the Ephesians. And I'll read you just a few verses. "I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God." The phrase in our vision statement, "rooted in the way of Jesus," came out of this text, that we are rooted and established in love. And I can say personally and on behalf of Goshen College that we are so glad to be rooted in the way of Jesus, rooted in love, with each of you, with your congregations, and with this conference. I'm so glad that you are here this evening. Welcome to Goshen College.
We are here. We have come from far away and not so far, in a rush or with delays. As we prepare for worship, let's give ourselves a minute to catch up, body, mind, and heart. Notice your mind, if you would, and breathe. Notice your heart, maybe even a hand on your heart, and breathe. Notice your body. Now turn just to your neighbor on your left and on your right and greet each other with the greeting words of one of the many languages of the people of Papua New Guinea. I see you. Just on your left and your right. Now notice that God is with us, in us, among us. Imagine receiving, too, God's gentle greeting, I see you. And pray with me. Where can we go from your spirit, God? You are here. You are behind us and before us. You lay your hand upon us. If we take the wings of the morning or settle at the farthest limits of the sea, even there, your hand will guide us and your right hand hold us fast. We are grateful for this time and place, for the shelter of your presence and each other. Thank you for the vast web of relationships and labor that has brought us together and on which our lives depend. Thank you for the work of planners, organizers, dreamers, prayers, musicians, childcare providers, cooks, ushers, and preachers. Open our minds, open our hearts, and our CDC story to you, that we might embody your love. Amen.
Anne Neufeld Roop was the first woman ordained into ministry by Western District Conference, what was then the General Conference, Mennonite Church. And she penned the hymn on number 26 in Hymnal A Worship Book, Holy Spirit, Come With Power. In the intervening decades since Anne wrote this, it has been picked up by other denominations. It's published in 6 hymnals, including having been translated into Spanish for use in the United Methodist Church. Let's sing, Holy Spirit, come with power. Please stand in body or in spirit.
Thank you.
I'd like to share with you a sung meditation at this time, which I'll teach to us, to all of us, a line at a time. It has three parts, three distinct voice parts. This is by Ana Hernandez, who is a writer of meditative songs for worship from New York. Beth, could I hear an F, please?
Oh, like to invite the children to come forward. Do we have children here? I have a story for you. And when you come, will you bring your photo that you picked up at the door? And we're going to put it on the wall up here. Are there children? Great. If you have a picture, you can bring it, and the little sticky thing, too. If not, that's fine. You can just have a seat on the step. Okay. If you have a picture, why don't you bring it up and stick it on the wall right now before we have the story? So come on up. Just stick it on the brick somewhere. Thank you. Hi, Sophie. Anywhere on the wall is fine. Pardon? Why don't you put it on the brick instead? And I have something for your trash. Thanks. And now, if you will turn sideways a little bit so you can see this way, the story is going to take place right here. So make sure you can see. Can everyone see? This story comes from the Bible and the book of Acts. Long ago, after Jesus lived in this part of the world, a man named Paul became a follower of Jesus. He was so happy to be a follower of Jesus. He wanted others to know about God's love and about God's invitation to be part of God's big family, the church. He had traveled to Jerusalem to be with other followers of Jesus. And he had learned over the years to listen for God's voice. And now he was back in Antioch. And he and his friend Silas were making plans for a trip. They were going to travel all through this region to share the good news with others. Paul was eager to visit some of the churches that he had helped to start in this part of the world. And so, early one morning, they set off walking. They traveled to the town of Tarsus, which was Paul's hometown. And then they set out again, walking for days, until they came to the region of Galatia. And in Galatia, they stopped at a town called Lystra. And there, living in that town, was a young man named Timothy. Timothy also loved God and was a follower of Jesus. And he was eager to be part of this trip of sharing the good news. And so they left Lystra and traveled through the region of Galatia. They were just ready to find a place to preach and to talk to people when the Holy Spirit said to them, "No." They were surprised and a bit confused, but they listened and they did not preach there. They decided then to go up to Bithynia near the Black Sea. And so they set off walking again. And when they came to Bithynia, the Spirit of Jesus said to them, "No." Now they were really confused and discouraged. Had Paul heard incorrectly? Weren't they supposed to share the good news here? Discouraged, they decided to head westward. So they set off for the coast. And when they came to the city on the seacoast called Troas, they decided to find an inn and spend the night. I can imagine them praying together before they went to sleep. I can imagine them asking God for guidance. But finally, it was time to sleep. During the night, Paul had a dream, a vision from God. And in the vision, a man from Macedonia called, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." When Paul woke up, he knew the dream was a message from God. "Wake up, wake up," he said to his friends. "God spoke to me in a dream last night. I had a dream of a man from Macedonia calling, pleading, come over to help us." And so they headed to the harbor to find a ship sailing across the sea to Macedonia. They finally landed at the seacoast and then walked inland about 10 miles till they came to the city of Philippi, the capital of that part of Macedonia. And there they waited, listening what to do next, waiting on God. Now, I'd like us to pray together. And in this prayer, I'd like you to help me. So I'll say a line of the prayer, and then you can say a line of the prayer, okay? And there are motions with this prayer, so you'll want to keep your eyes open for this prayer, okay? All right. Are you ready? Thank you, God, for being with us. Can you say that line? Thank you, God, for being with us. Help us hear you. Help us hear you. Help us trust you. Help us trust you. Help us love you. Amen. Now, I wonder if you would be willing to say a similar blessing to your parents and the grown-ups out here. Would you feel okay about doing that? Can you stand up and face them? And I'll come and you can watch me if you need help with repeating the motions or the lines. So let's stand and let's bless these people. Okay? All right. So we'll go like this. May you hear God. May you hear God. May you trust God. May you trust God. May you love God. May you love God. And may you remember God is always with you. May you remember God is always with you. Amen. And now, if you'll come with me, I will show you the room that you'll be going to next. Okay? Let me get my things.
Lois is a good storyteller, isn't she? And these 3 days, we are focusing on walking together and telling stories together. Come walk with us. Tell us your story. You will see in your little bulletin that we have a time of storytelling. That's going to happen each worship session. And this is where your little pictures come in, one place where they come in. So I hope you stopped and picked up a picture. Each worship session, we're going to be spending some time looking at the picture and thinking about the question that is in your bulletin. I'll give you about a minute to do that. And then I'm going to ask you to turn to someone else and share your reflections as you thought about that question. And likely you're sitting with somebody that you know. That's okay. It's okay to share with somebody you know or somebody you don't know. That's fine, either way. I think it's the exercise of reflecting and then sharing your reflections with another that is important. So you'll each have about 2 minutes to share your reflections with another and to listen to the other. Following that, Bradley will be teaching us a chant. There'll be 5 altogether through the next 3 worship times, and we're going to learn 2 tonight. These chants are based on a quote that comes from Thomas Merton, and we'll be using his words as a time of confession and ending our story time then with the chants once more. But then hang on to your picture because we're going to use it later. So I have my handy dandy little timer up here with me, and I will invite you now. You have about a minute to look at the questions. How is this picture like the road you or your congregation are on? And are you experiencing any divine no's? I'll let you know when your minute is up and you can turn to someone else and take turns sharing and listening. All right. All right, that was 4 minutes. So bring your conversations to a close. It sounds like some of you might want to continue sharing your reflections later after the worship service is over. Bradley, are you ready?
Okay. As Donna said, this is a confession from Thomas Merton. Let's say it together. O God, we have no idea where we're going.
We have no idea where we're going.
Oh, God.
Oh, God.
Oh, God.
Oh,
God. All together?
Oh.
Would this side sing the O God portion, and this side the We Have No Idea? We'll start with this side.
And now would you turn to the confession based on Thomas Merton's words. You'll see that there is a place for all. This is sort of north and south. I'll be leader. And then you'll have to turn the page over. Couldn't get it all fitted on one side. So would you join me together? Lord God, we have no idea where we are going.
We cannot see the road ahead of us. We cannot know for certain where it will end.
Nor do we really know ourselves, and the fact that we think we are following your will does not mean that we are actually doing so. And we know that if we do this, you will lead us by the right road, though we may know nothing about it. So we will trust you, though we may seem to be lost. We will not fear, for you are ever with us, and you will never leave us to face our perils alone.
We have no idea where we are going. We have no idea.
Our scripture for these three worship meetings in Central District Conference is from Acts 16, beginning at verse 6. As you couldn't see closely, the text travels. So travel with me.
Paul
and Silas and Timothy went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. When they were opposite Mysia, they attempted to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them. So, passing by Bithynia, they went down to Troas. And in the night, Paul had a vision. There stood a man from Macedonia pleading with him and saying, "Come over to Macedonia. Help us." When Paul had seen the vision, we knew that we were being called to go and proclaim the word in Macedonia. And so, immediately, we tried to cross over. We set sail from Troas and made a straight course to Samothrace, and the next day, on to Neapolis, and then to Philippi, the leading city in the region of Macedonia and a Roman colony. So, we remained there for some days. On the Sabbath, we went outside the gate by the river where we supposed there was a place of prayer, and we sat down and talked to the women who were gathered there. They listened to us. And there was a certain woman named Lydia who was a God-fearer who was listening to us. She was from Thyatira, and she was a dealer in purple cloth. And the Lord opened her heart to listen to what Paul was saying intently. After she and her whole household were baptized, she prevailed upon us. She urged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come and stay in my home." And she prevailed upon us. She persisted. And so I begin by confessing that I am so grateful for the dead ends in my life. I am so grateful for the times that I was stopped dead in my tracks. You might say, that's what it took to get me off my high horse. I had no idea where I was going next. At least 12 times, I came to the end of the road, to the dead end, and I could not see what was before me. And I had to grieve the God I had put in a box. because until I let go of that plan and that way and that God, I was going nowhere. Phil Waite preached this text earlier in the month, and he had a great title. Thank God our plans have failed. Now, I can say that somewhat glibly, but you need to know, right now, in this very moment, I have no idea where I am going. I ended my pastorate, my pastoral ministry of 25 years. I knew it was time. I could see the time coming, and every time an opening happened in one of your wonderful congregations, I go, oh, yes! And then I go, no. And yes, no. Pretty soon it was within about an hour. You know, it's like, no, 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 no. No, no. I guess I'm not doing this anymore. And, well, people said, well, you're 65. Well, I'm sorry. I wasn't done working. I wasn't done with money. But what was I to do? So I'm not using that R word. I'm morphing. So in my photo, some of the path is clear. I'm offering spiritual direction, and that was a yes, but there is this other, is it a voice? Is it a vision? Is it? It's just something very clear that says, don't fill your life. Something will call you. Great. Maybe some of you like that. This is the part of the dead end I don't like. But thank God I've been here before. And Jesus is always at the dead end somewhere. In more than I could ask or imagine. So when asked to preach this text, I was like, well, who can say no to the divine no? But the text made me a little crazy. So before we go there, let us pray together. May the words of our mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight. O holy yes and holy no, dead end and resurrection. Amen. Well, I don't know. Does this text drive anybody else crazy? Like, I just wanted to know, like, what do you mean? The Spirit said, forbid them. It says these big words, forbid and not allow. Well, like, what are we talking about? You know, you could picture it like in a little graphic with a sign. Like, Asia, no, not that way. You know, Bithynia, no, not that way. Like, they're at a crossroads, right? And they sort of decide, and then they... So, we're going to unpack this, and it's kind of like nesting dolls, okay? Maps, MOs, and mission. Okay, when you put all these names in here... Phil also confessed he was a map geek. Any other map geeks? You should have seen what Lois made. It was so awesome. So you take all these place names apart and you search the maps and you find out this is a trip of hundreds of miles by foot. The good news, Pax Romana made wonderful roads that exist to this day, and travel was safe. Would you walk 750 miles for anything? Without a credit card? No, seriously, how did they eat? Where did they stay? So it's not in the record. You know, I'm thinking the bottom line was nobody wanted to listen. right? They couldn't get anybody to listen. So I picture walking on these long roads and, hey, do you need any tents in your town? Oh, do you know the synagogue, the ruler of the synagogue? We talk about Jesus. You can imagine the kind of testing they might have done along the way. And if you don't have a synagogue to preach in, you don't have Jews, you don't have any tent making, you don't have any place to stay, I think that would equal no. Do you? But this broke Paul's plan. And he liked plans. It was a good plan to visit the places he had been before and to extend, right? To extend into the neighborhood. So they come all the way to the edge of what is now Turkey. They're at the end of the land. They're on the ocean. Nobody has crossed over to that other side. It is the other side. What do you think this vision was? And quite honestly, if it had been a woman in purple cloth, would he have gone? So the sailing was the fastest part. 2 days on the sea, 10 miles, and there they are in Philippi, Roman colony, retired military people. Apparently no synagogue, or at least not letting Paul in. So this gives me a little picture. Okay, I'm this far. And I can kind of see Paul's MO, his modus operandi, has been thwarted. But why did he keep going? And we have records in the letters of beatings, of imprisonment, of being kicked out of towns, stoned. Why did this man do this? And this was the gift of this study for me. Why was he doing this? Because he had a dead end. You know, Paul, as I picture him, as I resonate with him, is not like some of us. He was a pretty important dude in a pretty small group of saintly people. He was well educated. He had a leadership role. And he was zealous. He was a force to be reckoned with. He had permission to capture Christians. And he had no moral qualms, apparently, of standing by silently at the stoning of an innocent man. He was going to defend God's mission, life or death, because he knew what it was, that God had chosen a people who would keep the law so that all the nations would see this was God's people. And he was knocked off his horse, off his rocker, off his mission, off his mind. The most repulsive thing that he could think of, a crucified man that was setting up rebellion and disturbing the peace, spoke to him. Called him out. Get off of your high horse. What do you think you are doing? And have you ever had that experience where once confronted, all of a sudden, it's like the scales drop and you go, oh my God. Can you imagine what it was like for Paul to say, oh my God, I stood by. I enabled them to murder an innocent man. How could I think that that was a God thing? So you talk about metanoia, a whole different brain, a whole different mindset. Paul believed in the upside-down empire. He wanted to go to the top. He was aiming for the emperor, because not only was he a privileged Jew, he was a Roman citizen. But he made it work for Jesus, no matter what. It was in his bones. He walked thousands and thousands and thousands of miles for Jesus because he believed Jesus was saving the world from war, from poverty. From classes of people who didn't speak to other classes of people, because when he baptized people, he'd say, there's not Jew or Greek, there's not slave or free, there's not male or female. We are the body of Christ. We have the gift of freedom. So friends, I needed that. I really needed that. Because sometimes I think I'm more aware of dead ends than Jesus. We are at some serious dead ends. Massive, global dead ends. Mass extinctions, mass melting polar caps, mass shootings, mass incarceration, mass migrations, soul-seeking safety, weapons of mass destruction that overshadow and terrorize us. The rich amass riches and power, and the poor amass misery. Massive animus deadlocks democracy, and ghosts, perhaps holy ghosts, rise from mass graves of the past to say, are you ready to heal now? Los padres, los papis y las mamás con brazos vacíos lloran por sus hijos, lloran por el fin de este viaje. Ten piedad por nosotros. Es el fin. Are we there yet? Are we at the dead end? Are we at the dead end? Because Jesus is on the other side of the dead end. But we have to die. We have to die to the maps we've made that are so beautiful, to our MO. We know how to do it. To our mission, much as we love it. Because, brothers and sisters, there are people on the other side who are crying out, come and help us. Don't patronize us. Come and partner with us. Come live in my house. Yeah, I'm a woman. Come live in my house. Yeah, I'm a Macedonian. You don't know this culture. And the wisdom is not going to come from your culture, your mindset. Who is calling? Who is calling you in the night? And do you have the courage? Do you have the gumption to keep walking? And not know where you're going? This, brothers and sisters, is the Jesus way. And at the end of every major era, when things come to a dead end, the church rises anew. Yes, masses are leaving the masses. God is not at home anymore. But Jesus is not done. So, ten piedad de nosotros. Lord, have mercy on us. Lord, call out to us. Lord, welcome us where we need your wisdom. Yes, I said in my morph, I knew I wanted to do spiritual direction, but no, you know what I want to do? I want to seek direction with you, with God's people at a dead end who are ready for the next adventure. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Nina, for your words of confrontation and grace. In response, you are invited to receive anointing on your head or your hand, if you prefer. And you are also invited to come and add your picture to the beautiful road here, created by Brian Yoder-Slebaugh. We will come up these two aisles, and if you'd like to bring your picture up, do that, and then leave around the sides. And Sandra van der Linde and Steve Jolly and Isaac Villegas will be offering the anointing. They're from Chapel Hill Mennonite Fellowship. And if you choose to come, you will hear these words. I anoint you in the spirit of Jesus for wisdom in waiting and vision for the way ahead.
Thank you.
Let's sing a response to this time of anointing. Lord, have mercy. In the purple, sing the storybook, number 68, Kyrie eleison. This Kyrie provides several parts that you can choose freely to select any of these. And I will demonstrate the melody voice and the bass voice, and then we will go from there freely. Our closing song will be from hymnal A Worship Book, number 553. 553, I am weak and I need thy strength. We close as we've experienced the rhythm of this time of confession. Let's stand in body or in spirit.
Thank you.
Wow. Seems a shame to need to make a couple of announcements after that, but I do need to make a few. There's a few people whose names didn't make it into tonight's bulletin, and we want to thank Beth Bontrager for leading us, gracing us with your piano playing. Brian Yoder Slaybaugh was responsible for the road, getting that set up for us to add to it throughout this time together. And the flowers were brought to us and arranged and brought by Mary Gilbert. They are local wildflowers that she found. 13 golfers played in the annual Central District Conference golf scramble today. Yes, they did. They all finished. They all showed up, and they finished. The note that I got ahead of time with the proceeds of $898 have been designated, but there's pretty sure that they have topped that by now because some additional monies have come in. These monies are designated to the Ministerial Committee's Leadership Development Fund to help new pastors engage in the transitioning into ministry program and the Healthy Boundaries training program that is required of all credentialed people. So thanks to the golfers and the sponsors, AMBS, Camp Friedenswald, Bluffton University, Everence, Merlin Schrock at the H&R Block office in Napanee, and Richard Bohr of Bluffton. So thank you very much. And this is an announcement that you will all want to pay close attention to. Please enjoy ice cream and conversation in the fellowship hall following this service. All right, Nina, come bless us one more time.
You need to be on your feet for this blessing. Jan Richards has written a blessing for walking. Brothers and sisters, with every step you take, this blessing rises to meet you. It has been waiting long ages for you. Look close, and you can see the layers of it, how it has been fashioned by those who walked this road before you. How it has been created of nothing but their determination and their dreaming. How it has taken its form from an ancient hope that drew them forward and made a way for them when no way could be seen. Look closer, and you will see this blessing is not finished, that you are part of the path. It is prepared that you are how this blessing means to be a voice within the wilderness and a welcome along the way. Go with courage. Amen.